It was several years ago that I invited a neighbor to come to Easter at Trinity. This neighbor had a 7-year-old son whom he wanted to bring to church for the first time. Now, when I invited this neighbor to come to Easter at Trinity, I presumed that if he came, of course he would come to the 10 o'clock service on Sunday morning. Imagine my surprise when he and his family showed up to the Easter vigil on Saturday night. I thought to myself, this is either really going to work, or that young man is never going to step foot in a church again. Well, I happened to bump into young Kevin, we'll call him, as we were walking to school on Monday morning. And I said to him, Kevin, it was great to see you and your family at the church on Saturday night. And I asked him, with bated breath, what was it like for you to be there? And he said, it was so cool. It was just like being in Star Wars. Thank God I was so surprised. I forgot to be relieved that he enjoyed it. And I said, just like being in Star Wars? He said, oh yeah, that fire outside and all those candles, it looked just like the Ewok village in the victory celebration in the final episode. And being in that building, it was just like being in the Jedi temple. And that costume you were wearing, as you see Mark wearing, you looked like you could have been in the Imperial Senate. And he said to me, and you didn't say, may the force be with you. You said, may the Lord be with you. Leave it to a 7-year-old to recognize that what we are doing this evening is part of a cosmic struggle between good and evil. The world we live in, because of the choice we humans made, is broken and fallen. As our baptismal liturgy puts it, we live in a world filled with evil powers that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. We need but read the newspapers to see daily how Satan is at work in our world. I realize the name probably grates on our Episcopal ears, but we use it in our baptismal liturgy. Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness, we say, are rebelling against God. All around us, daily, we see the effects of his rebellion. We live in a world that is broken and fallen, and God is taking it back. We live in the midst of a cosmic struggle between Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness on the one hand, and God and the forces of goodness and light on the other. To us, in the midst of this struggle, God has sent God's only Son, Jesus, to save us. And Jesus issues us an invitation. Will you join me in my mission to restore all people to unity with God and each other? This mission is a matter of life and death, not just for you, but for the whole world. I need your help. Baptism is our saying yes to Jesus' invitation. If I were trying to explain to my 7-year-old neighbor and Star Wars fan what baptism means, I might remind him of the original Star Wars movie in which the rebels, the good guys, had found a weakness in the Death Star's defense. You may recall that the Death Star was the secret weapon of the Empire, a battle station with a laser beam powerful enough to destroy whole planets. The weakness was an exhaust port that led to the reactor chambers which powered the Death Star. If the rebels could fly small fighters in close, they might be able to launch missiles into the exhaust port and set off a series of chain reaction of explosions that would destroy the Death Star and save the galaxy. The rebels were able to recruit pilots to fly this dangerous mission, and in a tense scene, the rebel commander briefs the pilots before their departure. The commander tells them how the galaxy's hopes rest on them, of the difficulty of their mission, and of the Death Star's formidable defenses. "What good are we going to be against that?" one pilot asks about the defenses. The commander concedes, "The approach will not be easy. The target is only 2 meters wide. A precise hit will start the chain reaction, and only a precise hit." The urgency in their voices lets us know that their mission is a matter of life and death, that the galaxy is counting on them. The resolve on their faces tells us that they are determined to fly this mission, knowing it could well be their last. The scene concludes as the commander sends the pilots off. "May the Force be with you." That's how I might explain baptism to my unchurched, Star Wars-loving 7-year-old neighbor. We are in a cosmic struggle against good, between good and evil. Our entry into this struggle is a matter of life and death, not just for us, but for the whole world. And baptism is our saying yes to Jesus' invitation to join him in his mission. Not to fly planes and launch missiles, but to live lives reconciled to God. To live lives filled with forgiveness and love. To live lives that will help Jesus take back this world for God. "Will you join me in my mission?" Jesus asks. "I need you." To help us understand what baptism is about, I would point to the baptismal liturgy itself. I would point to its language of Satan and rebellion, of evil powers that corrupt and destroy. In that liturgy, in order to help God restore this world to God's self, Jesus invites us to turn to him and accept him as our Savior, to put our whole trust in his grace and love, and to follow and obey him as Lord. "Will you join me in my mission?" Jesus asks. "I need you." Unlike in Star Wars, we do not need to be great pilots to accept Jesus' invitation. To work alongside Jesus, to be effective as one of the baptized, we are called instead to be great lovers, able to open ourselves to Jesus' love for us. We open ourselves to Jesus' love by spending time with him, week by week in worship, and regularly during the week in prayer. For as we spend time with him and get to know him, we cannot help but come to love him. And as we come to love him, we cannot help but want to join him in his mission. It's a risky mission. The reading from Romans will soon remind us that we have been baptized into his death. But our cause for hope, our Luke Skywalker, if you will, is that Jesus has already triumphed over the powers of sin and death. The Force is with him. Sin and death cannot touch him. With Jesus at our side, we need fear no evil, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. His rod and his staff will comfort us. Some days I wonder if the Apostle Paul was a fan of Star Wars, because there are several Star Wars-sounding passages in his letters. One is in the 15th chapter of his first letter to the Corinthians, the famous chapter on resurrection. Paul has just spoken of Christ as the first fruits of those who have died, the one who will be raised first, and then those who belong to Christ will be raised after. Paul writes, "Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." I think my 7-year-old neighbor would know what Paul was talking about. In just a moment, we will revisit a portion of our baptismal liturgy and renew our baptismal vows. I hope that as we do, we remember what is at stake in our baptism. Our faith is a matter of life and death, not just for ourselves, but for the whole world. I hope we remember our mission to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. And I hope we will remember, too, how much Jesus loves us. All the stories of this past week, from Palm Sunday to Maundy Thursday, to the liturgy last night, to the stories we have just heard this evening, all the stories we have heard tell us of God's immense, intimate love for each and every one of us. Love is the means whereby Jesus will put all his enemies under his feet. Jesus is counting on us, the baptized, to manifest his love in the world. Will you join me in my mission? Jesus asks. I need you.